It's time for Who Said That on this episode of the Rainbow Minute.
I've had the privilege since my column began to get to know editors all around the country who've had the courage to try to improve their coverage of gay issues. And I think I've helped them do that by offering snapshots of our wonderfully diverse gay community.
God help you, Mary Dykes and folks, for much to your dismay, you have to see your family at least on Christmas Day.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. New Swiss marriage equality threatened by referendum, Cole Porter goes from Bulldog to Broadway, and remembering lesbian columnist Deb Price. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Marcos Najera.
And I'm Paula Thomas.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending December 19th, 2020. A process that began in Switzerland in 2013 has culminated with parliamentary passage of a bill to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. Versions of a marriage equality bill, first introduced by the Green Party, have been debated off and on these 7 years. The December 18th vote was not even close, 136-48 in the lower National Council and 24-11 in the Upper Council of States. Civil partnerships for same-gender couples were created in 2007, but the resulting rights fell far short of civil marriage. The new measure also allows lesbians to access fertility treatment. The Christian far-right Federal Democratic Union Party has vowed to sponsor a referendum to overturn the newly minted equality. However, public opinion polls have consistently shown overwhelming support for marriage equality. When the final dust settles, Switzerland will become the 30th country on the planet with marriage equality. Andorra, Italy, Liechtenstein, Monaco, San Marino, and Vatican City will be the only jurisdictions in Western Europe that do not allow its gay and lesbian citizens to legally marry. The Swiss Parliament made it a double victory for the queer community. Hours later, they passed a bill to allow trans and intersex people to change their gender marker on official documents with a simple declaration at a government office rather than having to get a court order.
Romania's Constitutional Court overturned a recently enacted law banning gender identity studies on December 16th. This according to a Reuters report. The education law amendment had passed without debate earlier this year. Human rights groups and educational institutions had voiced strong opposition, charging that it infringed on basic rights and encouraged discrimination. Centrist President Klaus Johannes resisted escalating homophobia in neighboring Hungary and Poland to challenge the measure in the High Court. Socially conservative Romania only decriminalized same-gender sex in 2001. It's among the dwindling number of EU member states that still refuses to legally recognize same-gender couples.
Cuba is delaying marriage equality. It was part of a new family code that was set for debate in the National Assembly in March 2021, but the government announced an indefinite delay this week. According to local reports, authorities claimed that renowned specialists needed time for more study due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Marriage equality was part of the first draft of a new constitution for the island nation that was unanimously approved by lawmakers in July 2018. It was deleted after strong opposition during a public consultation period. Voters approved the new constitution without marriage equality in a referendum soon thereafter. Leaders in the National Assembly then decided that the measure should be dealt with in the new family code. But, according to one English translation of a report in PerioDicoCubano.com, Cuban Justice Minister Oscar Silvera Martinez explained that more time is required to deepen in concepts and legal institutions that allow us to provide an essential code in the current context and perspective of Cuban society.
Britain's Health and Social Care Secretary Matt Hancock announced in a press release this week that men who have had one sexual partner and who have been with their sexual partner for more than 3 months will be eligible to donate blood, regardless of the gender of their partner or the type of sex they have. Under the previous policy, gay and bisexual men were only allowed to be blood donors if they had not had sex with another man in the past 3 months. Hancock said the policy change recognizes individuals for the actions they take rather than their sexual orientation. The new guidelines will take effect in mid-2021. Most equality activists applaud the change. Others complain that a significant number of potential gay and bisexual blood donors still will not qualify under the new policy. Until 2011, all gay and bisexual men were banned from donating blood in the UK. Then they were required to be celibate for the previous 12 months. The time period was changed to 3 months in 2017. The latest move in Britain has prompted activists in Australia, New Zealand, and the US to push for similar relaxation of policies that now require gay and bi male blood donors to have been celibate for at least the previous 3 months.
The queer advocacy group ILGA World updated its state-sponsored homophobia report this week. It cited progress in times of uncertainty. But research coordinator Lucas Ramon Mendoz said that, as of December 2020, 69 UN member states continue to criminalize same-sex consensual activity. At least 34 of those countries actively prosecute people for it. Offenders can be executed in Brunei, Iran, Mauritania, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. The report concluded that it's not clear whether the death penalty could be imposed in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Qatar, Somalia, and the United Arab Emirates. And at least 51 UN member states have legal barriers to the formation or registration of NGOs working on issues related to sexual and gender diversity. However, the report celebrated reductions this year in punishment for consensual gay sex in Sudan and the outright repeal of anti-gay sex laws in Gabon and Bhutan. There were other findings in the report, too. Almost 36 UN member nations now offer some form of legal recognition to same-gender couples. 81 member states now have laws banning workplace bias based on sexual orientation. At least 4 countries criminalize conversion therapy, and it's banned in parts of Australia, Canada, Mexico, Spain, and the United States. Despite the challenges ahead, ILGA World Director of Programs Julia Ehrt concluded that each section of this report contains hope for a better tomorrow.
The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear another appeal of a queer-positive lower court ruling this week. The Republican-led government of Indiana had asked the High Court to review the decision that upheld the right of both members of a married same-gender couple to be listed as parents on their child's birth certificate. The state had only allowed the biological parent to be listed. The appeal was among a number of other cases the court declined to hear without explanation. The High Court currently has a conservative 6-3 majority, and at least 4 of the 9 justices must vote to hear a case. Equality activists labeled this as yet another effort to erode the rights given to gay and lesbian couples in the Supreme Court's 2015 marriage equality ruling. Human Rights Campaign President Afonso David applauded the latest decision that once again affirms that married same-sex couples are entitled to be treated equally under the law.
Ohio's prohibition on changing gender markers on its residents' birth certificates was struck down by federal judge Michael Watson on December 16th. That potentially allows trans citizens in the Buckeye State to revise their legal documents. It's not clear if officials in Republican-controlled Ohio will appeal. If the ruling stands, Tennessee will be the only state left in the union to deny its transgender residents the opportunity to change the gender markers on their legal documents.
Washington, D.C. is now the latest jurisdiction in the world to ban the anti-gay and anti-trans panic defense in violent criminal cases, such as murder. Defense attorneys have used it to plea bargain such charges down to manslaughter or even lesser crimes. The measure now goes to Mayor Muriel Bowser for her expected signature. However, it still must pass muster in Congress, which has the final jurisdiction over legislation in the district.
And finally, former South Bend, Indiana mayor and Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg will become the first openly queer member of a U.S. presidential cabinet if he wins approval in the Senate. President-elect Joe Biden introduced Mayor Pete as the next Secretary of Transportation on December 15th. Buttigieg is expected to play a key role in Biden's push for bipartisan infrastructure funding. Observers note that the job will also give Buttigieg first-time federal government experience that could bolster another presidential run. Buttigieg mentioned his spouse, Chasten, more than once during his brief remarks and acknowledged that
The eyes of history are on this appointment. This is the first time an American president has ever sent an openly LGBTQ cabinet member to the Senate for confirmation. I can't help but think of a 17-year-old somewhere who might be watching us right now, somebody who wonders whether and where they belong in the world or even in their own family. And I'm thinking about the message that today's announcement is sending to them. So thank you, Mr. President-elect. Thank you for honoring your commitment to diversity with this administration that you're assembling.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending December 19th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Paula Thomas. Stay safe.
God help you, Mary Dykes and folks, for much to your dismay, you have to see your family at least on Christmas Day. For relative discomfort or for total disarray, and they dare call this comfort and joy, comfort and joy, and they dare call this comfort and joy. God help you, Mary Dykes and Poofs, it's true beyond a doubt. No else the strongest argument you have for coming out. Present it as a Christmas gift and hear the family shout that you dare call this comfort and joy, comfort and joy, that you dare call this comfort and joy. Don we now our gay apparel, Dykes and Poofs take cheer. We'll sing a token Christmas carol, then we'll have New Year. A man who thinks he's God, there's one born every day, I fear. And they dare call this comfort and joy, and they dare call this comfort and joy.
That was Sydney, Australia's Gay Liberation Choir. We'll hear more holiday cheer from their rare 1983 EP later in the program.
I believe in traveling light. To Joyce, that means she'd better do the packing. She reluctantly let me pack for our recent weekend in Texas because she was running late. But to make sure that whatever I left behind wasn't essential, she zipped her cowboy boots into our suitcase before heading to work.
And we'll unpack that parable, but first...
Run on, run on, wow, 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 Eli, yeah. Run on, wow, 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 our team can never fail.
He began his beginning as a bulldog, but he became one of Broadway's most enduring favorites.
It's time for Who Said That? On this episode of The Rainbow Minute. Beginning in 1928, this man was a successful composer and songwriter on Broadway for nearly 30 years. Born in 1891, he would attend Yale and write his first football fight song, Yale Bulldogs. His musicals include Kiss Me Kate and Anything Goes, and he was known for songs like Night and Day and I've Got You Under My Skin. As a master of double entendre, he skirted the censors of that era. His name became synonymous with sophistication and style. When asked who wrote Some Enchanted Evening, he said, "Rodgers and Hammerstein, if you can imagine it taking two men to write one song." Who said that? It was Cole Porter, famous for the whimsical music he created for Broadway musicals and Hollywood films. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
This is Philip Brown from the Metropolitan Community Church in Cologne, Germany. Und ihr hört gerade This Way Out, das internationale LSBTI-Radiomagazin.
The the very real issue is touch starvation.
What kind of country do we want to
be? I
want
to be in a parade.
I arrived here during the Cold War from the Soviet Union.
This is not going to end well.
Police sirens wailing. Get on the ground.
I campaigned for the presidency.
A lot of Polish activists fear that Poland is going into the same direction as Russia has been going.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Ready to say goodbye to this whirlwind year? Come join our 2020 TGIO party at thiswayout.org. Check out the queer highlights and lowlights, and look for the light at the end of this turbulent tunnel. A toast to our family of supporters at thiswayout.org.
Baby, have I got a ball gown to show you.
Hark the herald fairies shout, gay is good and gays are out. Out of closets, out to say, liberation's on its way. Some they laughed at, some they jailed, some they sacked, but still they failed to crush the pride that makes us free. Gaze in solidarity, heart of the herald, fairies shout, gay is good and gays are out. Told us we were weak and sad, monsters, pervs, sick or mad. Told us we should know our place, strangers to the human race. Turned out this was just a rumor, glad we kept our sense of humor. Smash the lies and learn to care. Now we've love and life to share. Hark the herald fairies shout, gay is good and gays are out.
Lesbian journalist Deb Price passed away on November 20th. Working at the Detroit News in the early 1990s, Price launched the first U.S. mainstream newspaper's syndicated column from a queer perspective. She opened a window into the real lives of LGBTQ people for a general audience at a time when more than half of the politicians said they didn't know any. In this excerpt from a 1993 speech for a Society of Professional Journalists awards banquet, Price talked about how her historic column came into being and read one of her moving pieces.
My column came about because the publisher of the Detroit News, Bob Giles, and Gannett see change as a friend, not an enemy. In the fall of 1991, Bob Giles posted a written notice adding sexual orientation to the numerous characteristics such as race, religion, and gender that can't be used against employees. That freed me from an enormous fear that sadly stifles the creative energy of gay employees in every imaginable line of work. At the same time, Gannett launched News 2000, a program in which newspapers were asked to think seriously about the readers they are supposed to serve, to offer different voices, and to be cutting edge. Those two events, the written anti-bias policy and News 2000, shaped my idea for a pioneering column, the first to regularly put a gay voice in newspaper households throughout America. The column I wanted to write was the column I'd always wanted to read. I wanted something in my newspaper that accurately reflected my life and the lives of my friends. I wanted to be entertained, not offended, talked to, not about, informed, not maligned. Editors in diverse communities around the country are now providing their readers, both gay and straight, with a gay column by someone who specializes in the subject. It has appeared in more than two dozen newspapers, including ones in Nashville, Des Moines, Guam, Honolulu, El Paso, Niagara Falls, Palm Springs, Muskogee, Oklahoma, and Springfield, Missouri. And now the column is available to non-Gannett newspapers through the Los Angeles Times Syndicate. The election of Bill Clinton, the first president to talk about gays in terms of civil rights, assures that equal rights for gay people will be a dominant social issue of the 90s. Next month, the Senate will hold hearings at which the military will be asked to provide evidence to justify its ban. In April, up to 1 million gay men and lesbians and their broad coalition of supporters will hold the largest civil rights march in history. In July, President Clinton plans to sign an executive order lifting the military ban. Is your newsroom ready to cover these stories? Or do you have food reporters covering the World Series? You'll find the means to improved coverage within your own newsrooms and within the gay community in your town. Seek the input of gay people, beginning with the professionals in your newsroom. Improved gay coverage can begin, in my case, with a written policy that says that gay people will not be fired simply because of their sexual orientation. What might seem unnecessary to you may be severely undercutting your newspaper's ability to cover gay news. Assign at least one interested person to a gay news beat so that you have someone on your staff who's responsible for separating fear from fact. Consider running my column or designating a gay writer on your staff to do analytical pieces so that your readers have context and perspective. I've had the privilege since my column began to get to know editors all around the country who've had the courage to try to improve their coverage of gay issues, to break through the stereotypes. And I think I've helped them do that by offering snapshots of our wonderfully diverse gay community, writing about everything from gay rodeo to gay radio. I'd like to conclude with a column about how Joyce and I spent a recent Sunday morning in Dallas, Texas. I believe in traveling light. To Joyce, that means she'd better do the packing. She reluctantly let me pack for our recent weekend in Texas because she was running late. But to make sure that whatever I left behind wasn't essential, she zipped her cowboy boots into our suitcase before heading to work. We're talking about a woman whose response to being in the doghouse with me is to play Hank Williams. My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? So her response to the prospect of a stopover in Dallas was to extract a promise that we could go country and western dancing. We did find a terrific women's bar, which even had a boot polisher who made Joyce's feet feel like they'd had a massage. And we discovered some spirit-lifting music, but it didn't come out of a Saturday night jukebox. It came Sunday morning from the choir, orchestra, and energized congregation of Dallas's 1,000-member Metropolitan Community Church. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. There, in a beautiful, light-filled room in a six-week-old building in the Buckle on the Bible Belt, we found a true sanctuary. And we felt something neither of us expected to ever feel, separately or as a couple, in a house of organized religion. Welcome. The Dallas Church that began 23 years ago when 12 people gathered to worship in a private home is now the largest congregation in the predominantly gay metropolitan community church, which has 235 churches worldwide. That congregation, which proudly dedicates its $3 million church building this month, was forced to meet for years in what senior minister Michael Piazza called a glow-in-the-dark pink office building with 9-foot ceilings, a flat floor, and folding chairs with whoopee cushions. The space was designed for 280 people, but 650 people came to church each week to listen to a service they couldn't hear and watch worship they couldn't see. They were drawn, no doubt, by the way the church lives up to the vision expressed in its hymnal, a community of hope proclaiming God's inclusive love, removing barriers to faith, in empowering all people to grow in grace toward wholeness. Even in its stained glass symbols, the Dallas MCC reaches out to women and men, people of all races, gays and straights, the disabled, the Spanish-speaking. And although the church has lost 500 members to AIDS, the voices that lift up toward the new vaulted ceiling make a really joyful noise. Every time I leave the place, I'm walking on air, said founding member Phil Johnson. Joyce and I felt the same way after hearing a sermon on commitment. Jesus tells us, the Reverend Piazza said, to take the vows and promises you make to one another seriously. Even if you can't legally marry, he continued, mutual, mature, and authentic love takes root and grows in the soil of commitment. The minister then asked every committed couple to stand together and hold hands. Bless these couples with genuine love, he prayed as his own partners stood with him. Never before in our 7 years together had Joyce and I received such support for our relationship. Our souls felt massaged, our hearts awakened, our burdens shared. Jesus never condemned same-sex love, yet most Christian denominations do. That has forced countless religious gay men and lesbians to travel to light, to leave behind their church homes, simply to be true to themselves. But now there are 1,000 tongues to sing praise in Dallas for the chance to worship together without masking our glorious diversity. Out of common bricks and mortar, a people of remarkable faith have built a cathedral of hope. Thank you.
That was the late newspaper columnist Deb Price speaking at a 1993 Society of Professional Journalists Awards banquet. The recording was preserved by longtime This Way Out Kansas City correspondent Dave Buell. We found even more about Deb Price in our archives, and next time we'll hear her again, along with a 1975 discussion between iconic activists Harry Hay and Jim Kepner.
We as gay people haven't caught up to how much progress we've made and how much receptivity there is in so many straight people.
We have options the earliest gay trailblazers could never have envisioned.
We are people who have been thrown up generation after generation throughout the millennia by the forces of natural selection. And through that, we are able to act as a mirror to see certain things that the straights can't possibly see.
Such as?
Tune in for some thoughts to end the year on, next time on This Way Out. Until then... The Nonprofit Board of Overnight Productions and the staff and volunteers of This Way Out send you our holiday greetings with help from the Therapy Sisters.
Happy whatever you're having. Hope that the season is bright. I wish that for you all your best dreams come true if they're politically correct and not too far right. Multicultural, gender-neutral, non-sectarian, unambiguous, ovo-lacto, vegetarian, nature-loving, sweet agrarian, non-polluting, mass-appealing, anti-looting, non-fur-wearing, all-inclusive celebration!
Unless, of course, you don't want to, because we don't want this to be a high-pressure situation. This is your holiday.
Happy whatever to you!
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Marcos Nahara and Paula Thomas, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Dustin Richardson, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Thanks also to Dave Buell. The Sydney Gay Liberation Choir, Cole Porter, and the Therapy Sisters performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors James Kennedy and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2MIA Griffith, New South Wales, KCEI Taos, New Mexico, Rainbow Radio FM, New York, New York, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, y'all, and stay tuned.